This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The Chesapeake Bay is the largest oyster-producing body of water in the United States, and oyster farming, or aquaculture, has become a fast-growing business in Maryland. But some watermen feel the ends don't justify the means. Aquaculture is expected to be an issue in the next session of the General Assembly in January. With me by phone today to discuss the state of the Bay's oysters is Robert Brown, president of the Maryland Watermen's Association. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
And Don Bosch, a professor of marine sciences and president of the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Sheila.
Now, Don Bosch, when you spoke with us about a year ago, the state and its partners had planted 1.25 billion native oyster spat, little oysters, in the Chesapeake. You're part of the movement to aquaculture. How widespread is it now?
Well, I think we're making headway on two fronts. First of all, the large numbers, the 1.2 billion last year, we had almost 1 billion this year. They're largely going to restoring the stocks of oysters in the bay. And then, of course, we're working with watermen and aquaculturists like Mr. Brown here to help promote aquaculture of oysters in Maryland.
Robert Brown, how long have you been a waterman?
All my life. I started in the seafood industry back in the 60s.
Okay, so decades. And how has the way you've made a living in the Bay changed?
It's almost indescribable. Years ago, we used to have fleets of boats out here on the Potomac where it would look like a city, be so many boats on these oyster bars, and now it's close to none working on the Potomac.
You are a waterman, but I understand you have also begun leasing plots for oyster farming, correct?
Yes.
Why?
A change in times. You've got to be able to diversify into this business now, and if you can't adjust and diversify, you can't make it.
But I must say, I was surprised to find out that you are involved in aquaculture because I read you quoted in the New York Times quite worried about the movement toward oyster farming.
Well, yes, we have a few problems into it. As you know, it's been done some over a number of years on what they call oysters on bottom, which is where you lease the bottom. The problem that we're getting into now is it's like any new business. We've got water column leases now where a lot of them are putting oysters into cages.
So there's two kinds of leases. There's a lease of the bottom, and then there's a lease of the whole column of water from the bottom up to the surface?
Yes, and that's where we're running into some problems in some areas. If they put it in a remote area, we've been able to work around it, but we got more and more people getting into it all the time, and some of them are people who haven't been in the water business before, and they're just putting a piece in and not taking in consideration the people who crab in those areas, like trot line and crab pot, and the clammers, which catch the bait for the crabbers. These entities have been in our... Well, actually, part of our heritage, and we need to protect those.
You're most concerned about the column leases.
Yes.
The activity above the bottom.
Yes.
Don Bosch, is it possible to have oyster farming without the use of cages?
Sure. As Robert pointed out, there's some on-bottom culture in which you put the spat that are living on shells and plant them on the bottom and then go back and harvest them. You can put them in cages and then put those on the bottom. That makes it a little easier to, maintain and the oysters as they grow and then to recover them. Or there are some places where they have, floating cages, if you will, where there's cultivation of oysters. And there are different conflicts in each case. Some people don't like the aesthetics of viewing the floats. But for the bottom cages, they're generally not very intrusive, and also they occupy really quite a small space, and as long as people know where they were, it seemed to me that some of these concerns about conflicts could be avoided.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Don Bosch, professor of marine science and president of the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science, and with Robert Brown, president of the Maryland Watermen's Association. We're talking about the Chesapeake Bay and aquaculture. Don Bosch, the EPA has high expectations for cleaning up the bay. Is it possible to meet their goals without setting aside a lot of the bay bottom for leases for aquaculture?
Well, actually, the goals to clean up water quality and improve habitats actually could work very well with aquaculture because the oysters, as I think most people know, actually can filter and cleanse the water. So the more oysters we have in the bay, the more natural biofilters we have in the system. In addition to the oysters that are either on bottom in aquaculture or on cages on the bottom, provide while they're there before they're harvested habitat for organisms, you know, small crabs and shrimp and so on, and fish who live in the bay. So I think they go hand in hand. Oysters themselves aren't going to achieve the objectives of a clean bay. We have to stop the nutrient pollution coming into the bay. But especially in the shallow waters and the tributaries, they can play an important role.
Robert Brent, how successful would you say that the federal and state initiatives, what effect do you think they've had on the health of the bay?
Well, anytime you put more oysters into the bay, it helps purify the water and filter the water. I agree with Dr. Bosch on that. However, when you have existing businesses in the bay that are traditional businesses fishing in the bay, you don't want to disturb those entities. And we have moved ahead with the department, and we have made some changes to try to tweak it to help it. The main problem that we had before was somebody would apply for a lease, and they would have to go through a whole year process, and then it would be put on public notice. And when it was put on public notice, we would see where we'd have a problem just on a few of them, where it was interfering with our stuff, like our clamming and our trout lining. And what that did was, we have got it moved back where we have input from those industries during the beginning of the lease process, which is going to eliminate a lot of the problems, I believe, that we've got now. And as far as what the state has done in these oyster sanctuaries, I don't think oyster sanctuaries are proven that they help to bring more oysters back. It stands to reason the more oyster larvae you have and spawn in the water, we should get more in those areas, but that didn't bring back the amount of volume of oysters that we harvested last season, which was higher than what it had been in like about 18 years, I believe. That came from where we had been cultivating the bottom through power dredging in the lower part of the bay and the natural strike in those areas.
Don Bosch, how do you look at these different measures and which has had most impact or will have most impact on the health of the bay?
Well, I think if you look at it historically, the oyster population in the bay is a very small, the best estimate is less than 1% of what it was historically. So it's no surprise that the kind of reduction, you know, that Mr. Brown noticed when he was young in the 60s, that's all gone because the populations are down so much because of a combination of harvest pressure and habitat destruction as well as disease. So it's pretty clear that we really have to rebuild the populations. The only way we're going to get more oysters in over more larger areas in the bay is to kind of jumpstart those populations. So that's what the restoration effort is all about and why it's so critical. The other issues about the variations in, you know, we had a good year last year. Well, we just had good conditions. We had a good strike set all over, not only in cultivated areas but in other areas. And those things will come and go, and we will have some bad years where the salinity is high, the disease prevalence is up. And the only way we can build a more larger and resilient population is to get more oysters growing in a whole variety of places throughout the bay. And so that's why the restoration program, coupled with getting folks to find profit and produce more oysters in aquaculture like they do in the rest of the world, are so two critical elements of the Maryland's oyster restoration plan.
I appreciate you both talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Brown is president of the Maryland Watermen's Association. Don Bosch is professor of marine sciences and president of the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Sciences. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also, a link to one of Tom Pelton's Environment in Focus episodes about a family of watermen who have plunged big time into oyster farming. And more of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning. The first magazine to be edited by a woman was right here in Baltimore. We'll learn about it. Stay with us on 88.1.